So let me go ahead and open our time in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for this ministry, this Women's Fellowship Night, and the ladies that have taken the time out of their busy days to spend time together. I thank you for the activities that we have that we get to spend time doing, and I thank you also that each one of these ladies is interested in learning more about your word and learning how they can apply that to their lives so that they can be walking more closely with you. I thank you for the fellowship that we have here, the encouragement that we can find as we meet together, and I pray as we spend some time looking to your word and seeing what your word has to say about standing firm, I pray that we would be encouraged, that we would be convicted to apply ourselves wholeheartedly to following after you. Just thank you again for this day and for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, our theme for this year is standing firm as we walk in Christ. We're going to be working through this little book starting next time. It has enough chapters that it'll kind of take us through the rest of the year, but we'll get into that next week. Basically, in this book, John MacArthur discusses the challenges that Christians face as we strive to live out our faith and our biblical convictions, and he gives us, quote, biblical battle plans for maintaining a life of Christian faithfulness. So that's what we're going to be looking at throughout the year. We'll be starting with the first chapter next week. You don't have to buy this and read it along with us, but if that's something that you would enjoy, this is what I'll be working from kind of as the starting place for our teaching time. But this month, we just have a short time, so I wanted to take just a few minutes to talk about what it means to stand firm and how we can do that. We're instructed over and over throughout the New Testament to stand firm. Paul included the exhortation to stand firm in each of his epistles to the churches. In Ephesians 6:13, he said, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Standing firm means to hold your position in the midst of battle, to persist, to continue, to persevere. Standing firm means to be spiritually stable, even under attack, continuing to strive after godliness and remaining fully dependent on the Lord. If we are to stand firm, we must not cower under persecution and compromise our convictions. We must not crumble under testing and complain. We must not crumple and give in to temptation and sin. Instead, we must remain loyal to the Lord and committed to the truth given to us in his word. The reason God's word gives us so many encouragements to stand firm is because of our tendency to so easily abandon our post. Believers still struggle with the sin nature, and we will continue to fight against our sinful tendencies until we see Jesus and are finally transformed. One of the evidences of this struggle that we have is our willingness to abandon the truth when the going gets tough, or when we get tired of fighting the spiritual battle. So we are reminded and exhorted again and again to stand firm, to not waver in our reliance on the Lord for his presence, his power, and his provision. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." I love this quote from Alistair Begg. I've shared it before, and I'm sure I'll do it again. He said that standing firm is resting in what is provided and yet doing what is required. Resting in the provision that is ours and then doing what we're asked. He has also said, "You can stand safe and secure in the victory that has already been accomplished at the cross." So we're standing firm in the Lord and what he's already accomplished for us. And out of that position, we're then going to be walking in obedience to him. God supplies us with everything we need to persevere in holiness, humility, and love in his word. The only way to stand firm is to hold fast to God's word. So, talk a little bit about how do we stand firm in the truth. And first is going to be what we've been talking about, standing firm on God's word. We talked a lot more about this last month. We talked about how God's word provides our standard for what is right. It provides our correction for when we're in sin, and it provides our comfort when we're going through difficult times. We talked about the importance of remaining solidly grounded in the truth of God's word. His word provides all we need for life and godliness. His word provides the firm foundation on which we can build our lives. It's through the instruction of his word that we are firmly rooted and built up in Christ, established in our faith. We must know the truth of the gospel, the teaching of God's word. We must know the truth so that we're not led astray by a lie. We're especially susceptible to the lies of the world, to Satan's lies, when we're going through difficult times. So we need to be prepared. We need to be standing firm on that truth. We also need to stand firm in the body of Christ. We must also stand firm in fellowship in the body of Christ. We're not meant to live this life independently. When we're saved, we're placed into the body of Christ, and we're instructed to not forsake assembling together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We're meant to live as part of the body, building one another up and helping one another to stand firm. And I like that it says, "and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That's talking about as we get closer and closer to Jesus' return, things in the world, the conditions will get more and more difficult to be faithful in, and we'll need each other that much more. Now, we don't know the day or the hour that Christ will return, but every day is a day closer. And every day we need that fellowship more and more. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Part of living in a manner worthy of the gospel is to stand firm in unity. We are to rely on what the Holy Spirit has given us for edification in the Word of God, and we are to encourage others to do the same. We need the help of other believers to persevere in the faith. That's the way God's designed it to be. And he's given us to each other. We use our giftedness to help each other, to encourage each other. And finally, so we need to stand firm on God's word, stand firm in the body of Christ, and stand firm by uniting our hearts to the Lord. Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." In order to stand firm in the Lord, we need to have undivided hearts. Our hearts must be fully devoted to the Lord and not double-minded. James 1:8 describes a double-minded person as being unstable in all he does. In order to be stable and to stand firm, we need to be single-minded, with hearts united to fear the name of the Lord. This concept of fear of the Lord is a huge theme in Proverbs and really throughout all of Scripture, and it would take much more time than we have to really unpack this, but I want to give the basic idea of the fear of the Lord. It's proper reverence for God, the reverence due to his name because of who he is. The MacArthur Study Bible says, "This reverential awe and admiring submissive fear is foundational for all spiritual knowledge and wisdom." So we need to have this proper view of who God is in order for us to stand firm. In order for us to stand firm in the faith, we need to have undivided hearts that listen to the teaching of God's word and then submit to it in obedience out of that reverence for God. God has revealed the truth to us in his word. For those of us who are true followers of Jesus Christ, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to teach us how to apply the truth so that we can walk in it. Our responsibility is to obey. But it's not always that simple, is it? We don't always have undivided hearts. Our hearts often lead us astray when we take our eyes off of Jesus. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 7, and verse 15 says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing that I hate." This so often describes us, doesn't it? In order to cultivate hearts that are united to the Lord so that we can stand firm, we must be faithful to examine our hearts and be willing to change. We must be faithful to examine our hearts against the standard of God's word. And when the Holy Spirit reveals sin in our lives, we must repent. We must confess our sins and turn away from them, putting off the old ways of the old self and putting on the ways of the new self, following after the example of Jesus. In my Bible reading, I recently read through the book of Jeremiah, so it was really fun as Ed's been teaching through that in Grace Life this month. Jeremiah is one who stood firm in the word of God despite living in a culture that was crumbling. He spent years and years and years calling for them to repent because God's judgment was coming, and yet they ignored him or beat him or imprisoned him or plotted to kill him, but he stood firm. There's a prayer of his that really stood out to me. in Jeremiah 12. He's coming to the Lord, and just think of how much that would wear on you to be watching these people constantly be turning away from the Lord and not listening to the call for them to come and to repent. So I'm going to start in verse 1, so Jeremiah 12, 1, and I'm going to read through the first half of verse 3. Jeremiah prays, "Righteous are you, O Lord, that I would plead my case with you. Indeed, I would discuss matters of justice with you. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease? You have planted them. They have also taken root. They grow. They have even produced fruit. You are near to their lips, but far from their mind. But you know me, O Lord. You see me, and you examine my heart's attitude toward you." So Jeremiah saw around him a people who had every appearance of being God's people. They thought that they were safe and secure as being God's people, but even while God was near to their lips, he was far from their minds. And this word for minds is also translated kidneys in a lot of places, some places translated hearts. It's supposed to be kind of that center core of emotion or affection. So their hearts, no matter what they were saying, their hearts, the center of who they were, was not with him. God was far from them. They were far from God. This type of divided heart is common in our day and age too. People who are quick to identify as Christians or being religious, but are not willing to walk in obedience to God. We need to have an attitude like Jeremiah, opening ourselves up to be examined by God's word, even inviting him to examine our attitudes and thoughts, and then to respond with humble repentance when we are in sin. A few chapters later, in Jeremiah 18, there was another attitude that I thought was too common sometimes among people. So let me read what's happening. So again, Jeremiah is calling the people to repentance. So we're going to hear that in Jeremiah 18:11, and then we're going to hear their response to him. In verse 11, "So now then, speak to the men of Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying," so God is giving him the word to say to the people. He's supposed to say, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning calamity against you and devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back, each of you, from his way and reform your ways and your deeds." So he's calling them, even in this condition, calling them to turn away, and he would turn his judgment away. He's calling them to repent. And this is what their response was. "But they will say, it's hopeless, for we're going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart." So just this open understanding that, no, we're not going to do that. I'm going to do what I want to do. I often tell the story of one of my children where I had clearly stated, this is what mom needs you to do. Don't do this. I need you to do this. And the child looked in my face and said, I'm going to do it anyway. Still can tend to be that way. But this can be our attitude sometimes when we know what it is that we're supposed to do, but we just fall back to our own way of doing things. I'm going to do it anyway. We need to really guard and caution against that. That's such a warning to us. This is another attitude to avoid. Our struggle against sin is not hopeless. We must not resign ourselves to just following after our own plans and doing what we always do. This is especially difficult when we're going through trials. I know that when things are really, really difficult, we tend to just go on autopilot and do what we've always done. But I want to encourage you that this is just the time where God can reveal those attitudes that are not in line with his word. So we need to be faithful to examine our hearts even when things seem difficult, because if we don't deal with our sin and our reactions and our responses as we're going through difficult times, it's not going to make it better. It's going to make it worse, because then we're adding our own sin to the situation. We must understand that as true followers of Jesus Christ, we can have victory over sin. We can say no to sin and yes to righteousness. We can grow. We can change. We can be transformed to become more and more like Jesus as we walk with him. So we need to have that attitude of being open before God's word, inviting him, asking him, imploring him to test us. There's a few passages that I'll leave with you in closing. One is very familiar, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. David is inviting God to search his heart to root out any unrighteousness. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. We know that David went through really difficult times, and I love this openness of him before the Lord, asking God to reveal any sin in his life so that he could get rid of it, so he could repent and turn away. I also want to read Psalm 26. This will be our closing here. This is another Psalm of David. Kind of this, again, this attitude of longing to be with the Lord, longing to walk in righteousness, asking God to help him by examining his heart. So let me read Psalm 26. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I shall not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregations, I shall bless the Lord. I pray that we're able to stand firm the way that David did, opening our heart before the Lord, inviting him, asking him to examine our hearts so that we can turn away from our sin and walk in righteousness before him. Let me go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this short time we've had to look at your word. I know that it's something I need to hear so frequently that I don't let myself off the hook of still pursuing righteousness just because I may be going through a difficult time. I pray that I would always take my walk with you seriously, and that I would see that difficult times, trials, and testing are an opportunity for you to expose sin that's in my heart, in my attitudes, and in my responses. I pray that myself and all these ladies here would be quick to repent when you show us the truth in your word, when you reveal sin to us. I pray that you would give us a longing and a desire to be with fellow believers, that you would give us a desire to know your word so that we can build our lives on it, so that we can stand firm in the truth. I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for the fun that we have yet to have making our cards. Just pray that that would all go smoothly and that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.